but I just kept thinking there's something different. And so I turned to Steph. I said, let's go check out James's church. And we went to all these different churches in that season. And we went to Mercy City, and it was, I mean, the music was loud and crazy and fun. And, you know, you're kind of in there, and there's tons of people packed into this little space at the time. And we're just sitting there, and nobody knows us. We're just kind of blending in for the first time in church in a long time. And so there we are sitting, and all of a sudden, this woman gets up to preach. And the background I come out of, I'm like, wow. I start rolling my eyes. I kind of nudge Steph. I'm like, here we go. And I'll tell you what, this woman can preach fire. Pastor Carrie gets up there, and she preaches like no other woman I'd ever heard before. And it was the anointing. It was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit on her. And so after all that in that season, as we were getting ready to start revival, and we just kept going along this journey, Steph and I kept having discussions and conversations about what does it look like to do ministry together in this next season? Because in the last season, it was just me, and then she was on the sideline with kids. I said, I think we can do something different this next season. And we just kept getting drawn back to something happening at Mercy City. And we just kept leaning into connection there. And we kept leaning into relationship there. And every time Steph and I would have one of these conversations, I would say, all these other churches, we knew the pastor, we knew the pastor's wife. And I said, I look at all these wives of these pastors, and when I look at each and every one of them, I think your gifts and your calling are most like Pastor Carrie's. I said, I believe this is the house. These are the pastors we're called to be planted under, and that we're going to flourish. And I just, he has. He's flourished us in this season. In these past few years, God's had us on a path teaching us about spiritual authority. And that when you're married, you walk as one. You are one flesh, one spirit. And I just kept speaking that over Steph. I just kept telling her, you have spiritual authority. You carry it in the house. And every house needs a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And I see that at Mercy City. Thank you, Lord, for Mercy City and Pastor Matt and Pastor Carrie for showing us a blueprint. Thank you, Lord. Jesus lined things up and showed us things in that season that I didn't know. There were things that began to come to light through the power of the Holy Spirit that I didn't know were possible in his church. And I just thank God for Pastor Matt and Pastor Carrie, who came and plowed hard soil in the Midwest. The Midwest isn't like other places. It's a religious soil. It's hard soil. There's rocks, and you got to work hard. And that's why we praise hard in this house, because we know that praise plows. And so we just keep plowing in this house, and we don't care. We're going to keep going because we believe we're fighting for revival in the heart of this city, because we're going to see the Holy Spirit break out all over this place. He's moving in this city. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. My hands are going numb. Woo! He's here. And so all that to say, I asked our pastors to come tonight for an impartation, for a deposit into our house. And any place they step ground onto, let me tell you, it's not the physical that's changing, it's the spiritual. But as the spiritual changes, there will be a physical manifestation. There will be a change in the atmosphere. That's what's going to happen tonight and going forward. This house will never be the same, because the spiritual authority Pastor Matt carries in this region, it's given to him by the Father. He was called to come at such a time as this. And so for this next season of ministry, I just asked him for a deposit into this house. And we humbly asked him and Pastor Carrie. And Pastor Carrie, unfortunately, isn't able to be here tonight. She wasn't feeling well. But we asked them for their hand of blessing, for their commissioning, for their ordination in this next season, as Steph and I step into pastoring together in this next season. We're bringing Steph on staff officially here now that it's January. She's a pastor in this house. She carries spiritual authority. She was called and created for this. Trust me when I tell you, she didn't seek it and she didn't want it, but she was called. She fought it every step of the way. But she has a gift, and she's a gift to God's house. And women, there's too many of you. You've been told you're not a gift. You weren't called. You don't have a voice. No, no, no. When you're undercover, when you're in alignment with His word and walking under His authority and who He's placed over you in authority, what happens? Women, He'll raise you up. That's what He does. Steph came undercover in this season, and God is raising her up for this next season. And so I just thank you, Pastor Matt, and I thank you, Pastor Carrie, for the blessing you are to this region and to our house personally. And so right now, would you just stand and please welcome Pastor Matt as he comes to give a word. Would we just, let's honor him.
Come on, everybody. Would you just remain standing on your feet for just a minute? Man, I'm glad to be here tonight. This is so fun. Who loves being in church? Man, I just love being in church. It's so fun. I'm going to do something because I feel like the time is appropriate just right now, if that's okay. Thank you, my friend. Let's put Pastors Alex and Steph right back up here, please. Just come on up here. Come on up here. I'm just going to pray over y'all right now. Is that okay? Come on, man. Let me take this from you. Come on. Thank you. Come on. You know, Pastor Alex wasn't lying when he said that there's an anointing on this house to lead differently than many other houses in this city. I remember the first time I met Pastor Steph, who at the time was just Steph, and she would have cut you if you tried calling her pastor. And actually, I didn't even try calling her pastor. I thought she was going to cut me anyway the first time I met her. But I remember telling Pastor Alex that there was something significant about the anointing and the giftedness that was on his wife. And I told him, I said, you've done ministry alone up until this point, but you will not do ministry alone for long. And she was pushing back. She did not want anything to do with it. When he said she didn't want it, she wasn't looking for it, that was an understatement. She was fighting against it. But the way that I've seen you lead, Pastor Alex, your family, which to me is the most important ministry we have, your marriage, your kids, and then, of course, your church, and the way that you've been so gentle, the way that you've prayed faithfully, the way that you've served diligently, the way that you have sought God on how to make this transition and make this move. Thank you for the way that you honor me, but I honor you. Only a true man of God can take something like that and be patient with God to do what He wants to do. And so I honor you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for our relationship, but I'm grateful for the anointing that you bring to this region as well. And Pastor Steph, I got to tell you, girl, listen, you don't have to fight anymore against what you've always known was on the inside of you. You never saw a space or a place for you, because you never looked right here. But now that you see it, God's going to exponentially give you vision in a multiplied way to be able to see what your role is in this house. Because like Pastor Alex already mentioned, I believe that every home needs a healthy mother and father. Okay? And so you're just beginning to scratch the surface. You're just beginning to discover what it is. And I'm telling you, y'all, when you step into this, y'all are going to look different. Your world is about to change. And it's about to increase in a significant and a powerful way. Because what God does is he always delivers his anointing from the head down. Y'all familiar with scripture? Come on, everybody. And so when he places a couple at the head of his church or body that we're leading, what happens is he releases here and then it flows throughout. And so I'm telling you, there's going to be healings. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be financial breakthroughs. There's going to be people begin to flood this place. You're going to see salvation. You're going to see baptism in the Holy Spirit. You're going to see signs, miracles, and wonders in this house that some of y'all from the background you came from didn't even believe were possible. Amen. And God's about to release that. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Come on, I want to pray. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over your pastors this evening. Would you do me a favor? Would you extend your right hand just as a sign of agreement, blessing, and the release of authority in Jesus' name? Father, I thank you for Pastors Alex and Steph. Father, I thank you that this is not an appointment of their own. This is an appointment by the Holy Spirit. Father, you're the one that has released this couple into this church. Father, they didn't understand the circumstances surrounding it, how the last season ended. But Father, the way that you brought them to a place of healing, the way that you brought them to a place of wholeness, Father, it's because in this next season, they're going to see many, 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 many people and their lives be healed and become whole. Father, I thank you for the anointing that flows from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father, we ask that as they are in unity in their marriage, as they are in unity in their family, and as they are in unity in this church, and they continue to be led, would you release onto them something that's supernatural, something that is for this region, but hasn't been in this region up until this point. God, I thank you that you're releasing something in the Spirit, according to your Spirit, according to your plan, your purpose, your will and destiny, that hasn't been done yet. But God, because they're going to pioneer the way, many others who follow will do the same. Father, I thank you that this couple are light bearers in this city. And I thank you that because of the revival that you brought to them personally, they'll be able to minister that revival throughout this city and corporately. Father, continue to move, continue to flow, continue to do in them what only you can. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Come on, everybody. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. All right. You can give your neighbor a knuckle bump and then you can find your seat. That'll be fantastic. Fantastic. All right, everybody. Well, praise and worship was awesome, everybody. I thought it was going to go for a lot longer. I wanted it to go a lot longer, but now I get to preach for, 3 hours or so. Nobody's got anything to do tomorrow, do you? Okay, good. Good, 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 good. Well, normally, before I do something like that, I'd like to introduce myself, even though Pastor Alex already took a minute to do that. Unfortunately, like he said, my wife, Pastor Carrie, was not able to be here this evening. She's actually doing a teaching tomorrow morning, and then she's actually preaching at our church on Sunday morning, and she got a little throat tickle, and I was like, girl, you better stay home, otherwise I'm going to end up preaching Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I got I'm going to Austin, Texas on Tuesday to preach, and so we decided it might be best for her to stay home. But she certainly is, you know, disappointed that she's not able to be here to meet and greet all of you. Especially, she loves Pastor Steph, and it was so fun for me during this process because my wife is a prayer warrior. She is a prayer warrior. That's just who she is. And so one of the things that she did very consistently is she would pray for Steph, and she would pray for Alex, and she would pray for the family, but specifically that the lie of the enemy would be ceased so that the call of God could be realized. And I remember the call that we were on with our Next Level Relational Network. We're part of a network out of Southwest Florida in Fort Myers, and I'm one of the group leaders and the regional leader for this area. And so she and I together, we oversee about 38 churches and kind of help give coaching and oversight to some pastors. But I remember being on the call with all of the group leaders, and we were going around on the Zoom screen, and they were like, "Matt and Carrie, you got any wins from Nebraska?" And she's like, "Yeah, let me tell you about Steph Hall." And just started bragging on Jesus and all that God is doing through Pastor Steph and Pastor Alex and this amazing church. Guys, it's an honor to be here. We are so, so excited. So one thing that you need to know about me is that I get weirded out when people are quiet at church, okay? And so I grew up in Nebraska. I didn't do very good in church in Nebraska. In fact, I'm from Hastings, and when I was 15, I got kicked out of a church and asked never to come back, okay? And so here's why, because I was a little rowdy and loud, and I wasn't a good church kid. But I moved to Georgia, and I lived there for about 13 years, and I learned how you're supposed to do church, everybody. You're supposed to interact with God's word. Like, you know, you're supposed to say amen at church. Amen, amen. You know, we like to say things at Mercy City like ride that donkey. Uh-huh, none of y'all even said it. Some of us even like to say get it white boy, and I'm the white boy. And then others of us who are more familiar with boring church, and we would never dream of talking in church, we just start by saying, that's good. That's good, right? And here's why I did that, because when I moved to Nebraska, I realized that there are a lot of folks who knew about God's word, but they didn't know how to implement God's word. And I think the reason that we don't implement God's word that we know is because we haven't taken ownership of it. It's impossible to take ownership of something that you do not come into agreement with. And so we teach our church to be a holla back church. We say amen. We say preach, preacher. Get it, white boy? That's good. Now, here's what we're going to do on the count of three. We're going to practice our favorite, because I can't preach at a church that's not a holla back church, okay? And so y'all going to be a holla back church tonight. Sound good? Y'all ready for it? Some of you are not sure. You're like, Pastor Alex, who did you bring here? What are we doing? What are we doing? Let's try it on the count of three. You practice your favorite. Ready? One, two, three. Can we just try that again? Can we try that again? Is that okay? Let's pretend that one didn't happen. Let's pretend that one didn't happen. All y'all picked the boring one. That's good. Come on, man, let's not be those people. You're here on Friday night, man. What are we doing? This is church. Let's go. On the count of three. One, two, three. Okay. I almost felt like I was at church, everybody. Hey, if you got a Bible, you can open up to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6, and we'll get there in just a minute. I love the theme of tonight. When Pastor Alex asked me to come and speak, and he told me that tonight was going to be called a night of honor, I just thought that that was awesome, because one of the things that we learned early on when we moved to Lincoln was, in the church, there is no honor. In the church, there is no honor. I've preached in Kearney. There's no honor. I've preached in Omaha, there's no honor. I preached in Lincoln, there's no honor. I've preached all around our state, and there is almost no honor. And so I loved the theme, A Night of Honor. And I know tonight you guys are here and you're ready and full of honor, but I want to talk about honor anyway, because I think it's one of the things that's severely lacking in the life of a local church. And so here's what I want to do. I know, again, I'm preaching to essentially the choir. Y'all already do this. You get this. You're here because you're full of honor. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Take really good notes so you can share with all your friends on Sunday morning, or the friends that you go to group with, or however y'all do life. Take good notes, because I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled Fight For It. Somebody say, fight for it. Look at your neighbor and say, fight for it.
Fight for it.
Fight for it. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in an unseen world. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight for the true faith. I'm here to tell you tonight, everybody, there are some things that you're just going to have to fight for. Look at your neighbor and say, fight for. If we're as the church, if we're as Revival Church Omaha going to experience the fullness of what God has for us to experience, there are some things that we're going to have to fight for. Somebody say, fight for it. Say it like you're going to beat somebody down. Say, fight for it.
Fight for it.
See, because I think that the majority of us are A-okay with settling for something less than what is God's very best. See, God has a plan and a purpose, a destiny for each and every one of us. He got a plan and a purpose and a destiny for this church. But the reality is, because of the way we do church, we will settle for less than God's best. We will let culture talk us out of the things that God has for us. They say it can't happen, so we say okay, because we haven't experienced yet. But can I tell you something? Somebody who has an argument is always at the mercy of the man with an experience. So I feel like God's going to release some experience to us that's going to trump our arguments. See, some of us grew up in church and we thought that the giftedness of God ceased, that it stopped with the finishing of the canon of Scripture. Well, we needed God to move in power that way in the Bible because it was the Bible times. I don't know if you've looked at the news recently. I don't know if you have looked around your city or your school systems recently. But I think we are just as much in need of the miraculous power of God as anybody in human history. We need God to move. And if God can't move, then what are we doing? I'm not trying to play church games, man. That's not what we need. We need the miraculous move, the power of God. That's what we need. But in order to get it, we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight for it. So if you're in Mark chapter number 6, we'll get there in just a minute. Let's pray as we get rolling. Father, thank you for this evening, this night of honor. Thank you for Pastors Alex and Steph. Thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for these leaders and what you're doing amongst them. Lord, I thank you that tonight, even as I know I'm preaching to the choir, these folks got it. They're ready to fight. But God, maybe, just maybe, I wonder if you'd peel back a layer of a heart. And if there's anything missing, if there's any deficit, maybe even any dysfunction, would you point it out in us and lead us along the path of everlasting life? Holy Spirit, we ask that you Show us Jesus like we've never seen Jesus before, because we know it's upon revelation of who Jesus is that you'll build and establish your church. Not brick and mortar, not a physical location, but flesh and blood. You didn't come to build buildings, you came to build people and to build lives. So build us tonight in a way that only you can. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, amen. Turn to your neighbor and other neighbor and say, fight for it. Look at somebody across the table and say, I'm glad I'm not sitting by you. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. The Bible says this in verse number 1. Jesus left that part of the country and he returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. That next Sabbath day, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. And they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Would anybody like to see some wisdom released in your life? Would anybody like to see the power to perform miracles released in your life? Can I tell you something? This wasn't just for Jesus in Jesus' day. This is why he gave a high five to the Holy Spirit and said, now you go be with the people. Here's a little secret news flash for those of you who grew up in Sunday school. When you ask Jesus into your heart, he doesn't actually move in. He sends the Holy Spirit to move in. You're not empowered necessarily by Jesus. You're empowered by the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. Everything, John 14 says, that Jesus did, you're going to do on a greater level. We have access to it. But they scoffed and they said, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters, they live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and they refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do anything miraculous among them except place hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was absolutely amazed by their unbelief. Somebody say, fight for it. Here's what I came to tell you this evening. I came up here to Omaha, left my little sick wife in bed, tending to herself, so that I could tell you this one thing. There are some things in life that you're going to have to fight for. You're going to have to fight for. The enemy, my friends, that we must be on the lookout for is probably not the enemy that you're thinking of. This enemy does not have horns. He doesn't have a pointy tail. He doesn't carry around a pitchfork. This enemy is not somewhere out there lurking, waiting to seek whom he may devour. Although Peter does say that that is a real enemy, and he is, in fact, an enemy. I don't even think that that enemy has to worry about many of us, because we won't face this first enemy. See, the enemy, the devil, he doesn't even have to do a lot of work with most church folk, because most church folk can't even get past the enemy that I'm talking about tonight. You might ask, well, what is the name of that enemy? Can I tell you what the name of that enemy is? Familiarity. The enemy's name is familiarity. And can I tell you something? He lives on the inside of all of us. He's alive. He was alive and well in the days of the Bible, and he is alive and well right here in Omaha, Nebraska. He's alive and well. Come on, it's that thing that tries to reduce down the great things of God, explain away the great things of God. If you have a church background in this region, in our culture, chances are you have an ingrained spirit of familiarity that has been rooted deep down on the inside of you. that doesn't try to work hard for the things of God, that doesn't come to church with any expectation of the things of God. But you're like, I guess, yeah, I'll go. I'll be there. Lift my hand. Come on, I'm talking about fighting familiarity. I'm not talking about embracing familiarity. The reason that so many of our churches preach and teach doctrines that are anti the Bible is because we have to understand them and make sense of them, essentially making ourselves God rather than allowing Him to be God. If you have to understand everything that God does, chances are God's not going to be able to do everything that He can do. If we got to be able to wrap our heads around everything God's going to do in our church, chances are God's not going to be able to do everything in our church that He wants to do. We got to fight familiarity. Let me read this scripture to you again. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and He returned with His disciples to Nazareth, His hometown. His hometown. His hometown. I remember when I moved back here from Georgia, I didn't really know anybody that lived in Lincoln except for a handful of, you know, guys that moved to Lincoln to go to college, and I hadn't seen them since high school, and I thought maybe, just maybe, they would be so impressed by what God had done in my life that you know why? Because they remembered Matt from high school. They remember Matt from high school. They remember the guy that used to, you know, party with them. They remember the guy that they played football with. They remember the guy. They were too familiar to be able to receive anything that God wanted to do in their lives. And I can remember when I first moved back, it was like at every turn, familiarity wanted to try to attack me. And I had to make up my mind, if I didn't want to operate in or die in that place of familiarity in my hometown or home state, I was going to have to fight for it and fight against familiarity. Remember, 2 weeks before our launch Sunday, in 2 weekends from now, we celebrate 10 years in the life of our church. We're so thrilled, man. We can't even believe it. We can't even believe it. God has been so good to us. You don't care about Mercy City. If you do, just follow us on social media. That'll be fun. God's been so good to us. But I remember 2 weeks before launch, we were about to meet in a middle school, and the principal came up to me. We were there, like, doing a little walkthrough, and we were talking about, you know, what we were going to do, where we were going to set things up in the lobby, and she's like, Matt, and I'm like, hey, girl, I'm like, right here. You don't need to yell across the hall. You don't need to get everybody in the building's attention. You know what I mean? This seems weird. She's like, I got to tell you, I met one of your ex-girlfriends. And I was like, ex-girlfriends? What are you talking about? I mean, at this time, man, I had been married for 15 years. We're talking about a girlfriend from high school? What are we talking about? Why? Because if you finally decide I'm going to fight against familiarity, familiarity will come knocking at your door. And it will try to knock you down every turn, every time. We got to fight against familiarity. So I had to talk to her. I said, hey, you know, I'm glad that you know her. That's fantastic. I've certainly changed a lot since then. God's done a deep work in me, and I had the opportunity to minister to her a little bit. But had I not been prepared to fight familiarity, familiarity would have kicked my butt that day. And I would not have been prepared to usher in the 288 people that came in 2 weekends. 18 of whom gave their lives to Jesus because we didn't settle for familiarity. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But that's what happens in your hometown. The next Sabbath day, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him, they were amazed. They were asking, where did he get this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? They scoffed. He's just a carpenter. Son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. His sisters live right here among us. Like, nah, man, I know this guy. Wisdom, power, hearing all of the miraculous things that he's done on his ministry tour. But they can't reconcile on the inside of them. But we grew up with this brother. Like, we know his family. I'm sure there were people in that crowd that had changed his diapers, had packed his lunch. I'm sure there were people in that crowd that knew some of the deficiencies that they felt like they saw in him as a young boy or a teenager. Or if they didn't and they couldn't, they certainly saw it in his mother. They certainly saw it in his brothers. And they knew where his sisters lived. What were they doing? They were doing what all good Midwestern folks do, is they see something great and then they knock it down to size. Because if you're great, then it calls me to greatness. Or it shines a light on the deficiencies of my life. And so what my temptation to do is to make myself familiar with you. That's why when people start going to churches, they're just buddies with pastor. But can I tell you what I found in our culture? Pastors are okay with being buddies with the people in their church. And here's why. Because it doesn't cause them to live according to a higher standard. I'm not saying you shouldn't be friends with your pastor. I'm saying you should be able to do both. If you're a friend, that's great. They should still be your pastor. Because I'm telling you, God did not commission them to come here to be your friend. They commissioned them to come and be your pastor. And whether or not they pastor you well is not always only on them. It's also on you. Or not you, I know y'all are the choir. It's on the folks that come to church on Sunday morning. Because none of y'all would ever become familiar with the things of God. The Bible goes on to say that they were deeply offended and refused to believe. Can I tell you what familiarity does often? Causes offense. Can I be real honest with you? I don't know if you recognize it as offense, but I feel it in the room just a little bit tonight. Just a little bit. Why does he have to give an introduction to the pastor from Lincoln? Feels weird. Oh, what was that? Oh, it was familiarity. Why does he keep saying Pastor Alex and Pastor Steph? Oh, hold on now. Just caution yourself, your familiarity is showing. You see, this is my pastoral smile. When I say hard things, it's like, you know what I mean? Well, that's good for them, but not for me. It's good for them, not for me. Your familiarity is showing. Familiarity causes offense, causes us to question, causes us to concern ourselves with things that don't really concern us. This word offense specifically means to put up a stumbling block or an impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. See, you may be able to push through some of the offense from the familiarity that you're feeling, but the people that are coming through these doors over the next several weeks as God begins to multiply this church, it causes a stumbling block for them. Because if the leadership can't get those impediments out of the way, even though you're seasoned in your faith and you've learned how to navigate those stumbling blocks or that impediment, you've been able to use that as a stepping stone to get to the next level. If you don't navigate that level of familiarity, which brings those little offenses, what you're going to do is for the least of these, your children are going to stumble and fall. The new in Christ are going to stumble and fall. And I know that nobody in here wants that. Nobody in any of our churches want that. That's why we have to deal with this enemy called familiarity, the one that dwells on the inside of all of us. This is hard, isn't it? I'm sorry. Probably never going to come back to Revival Omaha. That's why I'm preaching for 3 hours, because I got to make the most of this, man. Let me tell you, familiarity always leads to offense, and offense always leads to a refusal to believe. It's right there in the scripture. They were deeply offended, and they refused to believe in him. Familiarity always leads to offense, and offense will always lead to a refusal to believe. Verse 4 goes on to say this. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except for in his own town and among his relatives and his own family. Familiarity causes us to lack honor. Causes us to lack honor. This term prophet specifically means someone who's called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If you're familiar with the Bible, you probably know that in the book of Ephesians, there's fivefold ministry giftedness, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Those fivefold ministry gifts is what this is talking about. Those who are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Those who are called to be in positions of leadership in ministry. A prophet is honored. Honor means this: highly respected or greatly esteemed. Can you imagine with me for a moment. Jesus goes on this ministry tour, and he's performing miracles, signs, wonders. He's doing great things. Everybody's telling the story about it. And then he comes home, and he can't do anything. And he says, hey, a person who's called to ministry is honored everywhere except for when they come home. And this is one of the things that I saw as a deficiency in our culture when we moved here. And it struck me really hard. When I first moved here, I moved from Georgia. And these people in Georgia would be like, they pastor so-and-so, they probably call my dog pastor just because pastor, that's how they grew up. Pastor, 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 pastor. So in Georgia, I try to get people stop calling me pastor because I don't want the familiarity, right? So I move here and I start introducing myself and I'm like, hey, Matt, good to meet you. Matt, good to meet you. Matt, good to meet you. And I realize, oh, this is not good. So I had to shift. And there was a pastor in my life at the time. And I was like, how in the world do I do this without it sounding self-serving? He said, Matt, you got to understand that it's not self-serving. Because Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, says this. That when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, or when you receive a fivefold giftedness ministry person in the name of that gift, then you receive them and their gift. Do you see what I'm saying? And he said, Matt, you got to understand that as you're ministering to the people that you're called to minister to, if their revelation hits and they receive you as their pastor, then God can exponentially release and pour out anointing on their life. What was he saying? He said, Matt, you got to teach people how to fight familiarity and fight for honor. And he said to me this too. He said, Matt, you know the Bible says that people claim that they love God, but then they don't love their brother. So how could people claim to honor God if they can't even honor the people that God has placed in their lives? And I thought, that's a good point. That's a really good point, because I can tell you this for sure. I've got 4 pastors in my life, and when I travel to Africa with them, I call them pastor. Because I don't just need them to be my friend. We're friendly and we have a friendship, but I need that pastoral voice. I need that pastoral anointing on my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? We went to spring training baseball games, and I was buddying up. We were yucking it up. We were yelling at the players, getting baseballs and all kinds of stuff. But you know what I was doing? I was talking to him. When I talked to him and addressed him, I called him pastor. Why? Because I don't just need a friend. I need God's anointing to flow in my life. The reason that God has been able to do such exponential things in the life of Mercy City, I believe, is because we've learned how to honor. And we fought against familiarity, and we fought for honor. And we honor in everything that we do. If y'all have ever been in our building, One of the things that we do is, and this is just me. This is just me. I'm not, y'all don't have to do this. Just me. But I am a crazy person when it comes to honor. And not just honoring people, honoring places and honoring the things of God. This is God's house. I know that it's a community center, but this night on Sunday morning, this is God's house. And when we rented that gymnasium, whatever it was at the middle school auditorium, it was some kind of auditorium. It was trash, y'all. Anyway, I mean, it was nice trash. But here's what we did. Here's what we did. Our teams would go in and they would clean up before we set up. And they would clean up after the fact. Why? Because God was about to meet us in that place and we were going to honor his presence by honoring the place where he was going to meet us. We vacuum our floors several times a week. Why? Because we're going to honor the place where God meets us. When our worship team comes in, everybody comes in with the coats. They started coming in with their coats in January. And I hated the mess that it left everywhere. And so I made a rule. Hey, we're not going to have any coats, any bags, anything like this in our auditorium. Your instrument cases need to go to a different room, and then you can carry your instrument into our worship space. Why? Because we're going to go over the top to honor. We're going to be people of honor. Because where we'll honor, where we'll be intentional, God will meet us. I think that's where he'll meet us. And I know, I'm a crazy person. I know, this is over the top, I know. But I refuse to be the guy that God has to pass on because he doesn't honor. So what I'm going to do with all my life is I'm going to fight for it. You know what? I have prayer time in my truck every single day. So you know what I never do? I never leave my truck dirty. Because I know that maybe, just maybe, God will meet me there. I honor the place because I honor God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If I talk to you before or after the services, I'll probably call you ma'am or sir. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. That's probably what I'll do. Why? Because I fight for honor. I fight against familiarity. I don't want anything to be familiar in my life. And I think that's the type of people that God's looking for. Because where there's familiarity, there's little honor. But where there's honor, there's little familiarity. Can I tell you something? Honor doesn't fall out of the sky. It doesn't come naturally. It's not ingrained in any of us. You have to learn it. You have to practice it. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it in your marriage. Come on, man. You, those of you who are married, you know. You wake up one day and it's like, oh, the feeling is gone. Why? Because you're familiar. Why? Because y'all been living together. Why? Because y'all, you done seen everything you can see. You're familiar now. The feeling's worn off. So what do you have to do? You have to fight for honor. You got to fight for honor. And where you fight for honor, God will meet you. God is honored by men and women who will honor him and honor the relationships that he provides. One of the things that we do in our building, I'll just keep telling you stuff. There are so many people that have not made it on our worship teams because they refuse to learn how to be people of honor. And if you can't honor the platform that God has given you, then you're not ultimately honoring God, and you'll never honor the people that God has called you to lead. You hear what I'm saying? Not anybody can grab a microphone at our church and preach or sing. You have to be somebody who's willing to honor people. Everybody on our staff now says ma'am and sir. Every single person. And people will be like, oh, don't die. I'm not sir. My sir is my dad. No, sir is you. Because I refuse not to honor. We taught our kids since day one, when you speak to somebody, you look them in the eye. Why? Because we honor. When you order at a restaurant, you look them in the eye and you speak clearly. Why? Because we honor everybody. because they're God's sons and daughters. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I love this theme, Night of Honor. Y'all didn't even know what you were getting. If God's going to pour out revival in Omaha, in this church, it's not going to be through people who are familiar and flippant. It's going to be people who honor the things of God, who honor the people of God, and who honor the places of God. On our teams, if you consistently run late, you can't be on a stage. Because this is a ministry of impartation. If you're going to be less than 5 minutes early, your responsibility is to contact your direct report and let them know, I'm running late. And then you show up 5 minutes early and they're like, you weren't running late? Oh, no, I just wanted to make sure you knew. Just in case I hit traffic, just in case I hit a red light, just in case I hit something. Isn't that excessive? Some of y'all are like, whoa, this guy's crazy. It's true, I am. And I'll take it. But this is how we live our lives. And it's because we want to honor the things of God. Honor doesn't fall out of the sky. I got 3 points, then we'll get out of here. Y'all are sick of this anyway. Here are 3 things that I think we see from the scripture that I just read that fighting for honor does. Number one thing that fighting for honor does is honor resets God's purpose. God's purpose for you, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, is for you to be fruitful and multiply, and then for you to have dominion over the earth. God's purpose is for you to be fruitful and multiply. And that's not just coming together and making babies, which y'all seem to be good at. Sorry, should I say that? Come on, man. Woo! Somebody got a little hanky in the back waving it like, yeah, Jesus. That's not all he's talking about. He's talking about being fruitful, multiplying. He's talking about having dominion over the earth. He's talking about heaven coming to earth. But in order for heaven to come to earth, the order of God has to be reset. Many of you know this. We are born into a sin-riddled world. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, and the wages of that sin is death and all the destruction and everything like this. And so what I'm telling you is the world we live in naturally is out of order. And what honor does is it reestablishes the order. The problem is so many of us in our churches, the churches that we go to, I've gone to churches on Sundays and I'm like, my God, you're not even here. Because he can't show up where he's not honored. He won't show up where he's not honored. And so we've got to be people who bring honor. And when we bring honor, we must realize that it resets, it reestablishes the order that God intended us to live according to. You start honoring, things are going to multiply. You start honoring, and you're going to have dominion in your job. You're going to get promotions. You're going to be seen where you may not even be the most qualified or the most gifted, but you bring honor, and God will show up and drop his blessing on you. Why? Because he wants to bring heaven to earth. He can only do it through people who will honor. There is no reason that a church that is less than 10 years old at this point in Lincoln should have 3 locations with nearly 2,000 people who worship together on the weekend. I'm not qualified. I've never been to Bible college. I did not go to seminary. I am not educated. I don't have the credentials. All I got is honor. That's it. And I refuse to let anybody that's on my team or in our church operate in a way that is less than honoring to God, the things of God and the people of God. This morning, I'll tell you a story. This morning, these guys can attest. I forgot to introduce these guys. This is my son, Eli, right here. He's one of our students at Mercy City College. This is Layton. He's one of our students at Mercy City College. He's actually our very first out-of-state student. He braved the Nebraska cold to come all the way from Texas. Come on, everybody. These guys are awesome. This morning, I walked into our prayer meeting. We've got prayer during our 21 days. We have prayer at 6 a.m. every weekday morning. And so I got there, I think it was about 5:16, maybe, I think 5:16 I got there, just because I wanted to meet with God before everybody got there. You know what I mean? Can I just tell y'all something? As you're coming to church, go ahead and prime the pump, man. Just spend time with the Lord. You know, pray in the Spirit, worship, you know, whatever you do. I don't know if you all pray in the Spirit, but if you don't, you should. Yeah. Pray in the Spirit, that'd be awesome, okay? So here's the deal, everybody. Here's the deal. I start praying and pacing. God says, hey, I want to meet with you. And I was like, phew, bet, let's go. I want to meet with you too. That's why I came early. Like 2 minutes later, somebody comes in. I'm like, oh, man, what? 5 minutes after that, two more people come in. I'm like, God, I thought you wanted to meet with me. He said, I do. I want to meet with the collective, the corporate you. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, this week we've had about 200 people coming to prayer at 6 a.m. And man, it's been awesome. And it's just been incredible. But normally what happens is, you know, we come in, it starts at 6 a.m. And so we start right at 6. I mean, the clock strikes 6. And if you're leading our prayer meeting, you're going. You're leading prayer. But everybody responds to that. Well, when they come in, though, they're chatting it up. They're yucking it up. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So here we are. And I'm feeling like, okay, God wants to meet us. And so we throw a little curveball. We do something different. We just keep the worship music playing. I'm pacing the room and I'm praying. And people are coming in and they're starting to see, okay, well, we're praying. Oh, we're praying. But then there's this little group over here of guys that are talking, little group of ladies back here that are talking, little group of people over here that are talking. And I'm like, well, I hope they get it. They didn't get it. So I grabbed the microphone. I got on stage. I grabbed the microphone. I said, hey, let me teach y'all something. I know that you're here 35 minutes early for prayer, but we're praying right now. It already started right now. Let me teach you something about the presence of God. The presence of God will only remain where he is honored. And if you're talking in this auditorium, where's the sanctuary where we meet him, he's going to leave if you're not honoring him. And so these guys stopped talking and these stopped talking, but these ladies over here just kept talking. And I said, hey, if y'all are going to talk, you need to go to the lobby. They kept talking. I said, hey, if I got some leaders in the room, I need you to tap these ladies on the shoulder and tell them to go to the lobby. And they came back in afterwards, and I said, hey, I apologize if I offended you, but I'd rather offend you than the Spirit of God. Come on, everybody. We got to be those people. What are we fighting for? God, honor resets God's order. I got a bunch of notes here, but I don't think anybody cares. You want to come play the keys, my friend? Thank you. Don't you love this guy on the keys? The second thing that honor does is honor releases God's power. Jesus couldn't perform any miracles because there wasn't any honor. Based on the truth of Matthew 18, 18, and 19, where the Bible says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you say yes to, heaven will say yes to. Whatever you say no to, heaven will say no to. I want that power in my life. Jesus had that power. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me. I have access to that power. But I've got to fight that enemy within me of familiarity. God wants your life to be filled with power, not just on Sunday when you come to church, but when you go home, he wants you to have the power in your marriage. He wants you to have the power in your workplace. He wants you to have the power in your school. He wants you to have the power in your life. He wants you to have the power. Honor releases God's power. So honor resets God's purpose, and honor releases God's power. And the third thing that honor does is it reveals God's people. This is one of my favorite parts of honor. You can always tell who a true follower of Jesus is by the way that they'll honor. That sweet lady, new lady in our church. And she came up to my wife and I this morning and she said, "Oh, I was talking to somebody who's been here for 2 years and they were so surprised that I came up and talked to you." And she hits me on the shoulder and she's like, "It's just Matt." And I was like, "Oh, you're so sweet." She just didn't get it. Here's the deal. At our church now, you have to fight for familiarity to settle into familiarity. Because we have such a culture of honor, not just honoring pastors, not just honoring leaders, but honoring people. You have to fight for familiarity because we have fought so hard for honor. But honor reveals God's people. It'll show you the people who are really operating in revelation, the people who are operating just in head knowledge. There's a lot of folks that you know and I know that are operating in head knowledge of the scripture and not heart knowledge. People who are operating in heart knowledge of the scripture recognize God's people. They don't talk bad about leadership in the church. They don't talk bad about people in the church. They don't talk bad about things in the church. They might see issues. They might see deficiencies, but they always properly address it. They don't say, "Well, I could do a better job." They say, "Hey, could I help? Could I serve? Can I tell you something? If you see a problem, you're probably called to solve the problem. Not tell pastor about it." I know that's tough. That just made some people mad, I think. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm convinced that I'm preaching to the choir. I'm convinced that there are people in this room that are desperate for God to do something significant. Desperate for God to do something powerful. Come on, man. You don't sign up for a church plant like this if you don't want to see God do something great. You don't sign up for something like this if you don't feel like God can do something supernatural. You don't sign up for a church plant like this. You don't come on a Friday evening if you don't feel like God can do something significant and powerful. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I also know there's some familiarity on the inside of many of us. There's familiarity still in me that I have to fight against. Sometimes people on our team will call me, "Hey, Pastor Randall." "Oh, yep, you're right. Yep, got you. Just happened to me yesterday. We had a guy come in we were doing a meeting with, and we met initially in our auditorium, and then we wanted to move to our green room. And so our green room's kind of out of the way, and so you got to kind of cut through the building. Well, here's what a lot of our team was doing. Our team was cutting through the auditorium because it's the fastest way. And I said, no, this is the place we meet with God. This is not our pass-through. We don't drop our jackets. We don't drop our instrument cases. And we don't just cut through, wearing the carpet down to the place where we meet with God. You can walk around through the tunnel to the green room. And when you're ready and prepped, you can come on the stage entrance." And so I took this guy through the auditorium. And our worship leader caught me afterwards. And she said, "Hey, Pastor Matt, I just want to talk to you about cutting through the auditorium." She said, "We're not those people." I said, You're right. We're not those people. Did God get mad? Did he not show up? No. But all it takes is one familiar act to reduce down what God can do over time. And can I tell you what? I got a lot more respect for our worship leader right now, because she called me to the standard of our house. See, it's not my standard, it's the standard of our house. It's the standard of honor that we've established. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That means they're for me too, just like they're for everybody else. And that's what I love about your pastors. The standards that are set are standards for them as well, not just you. I wonder tonight, if I could just pray for some of us. Because if we're going to have the purpose, the power, and recognize the people of God, those who are called to lead and those who are called to follow, those who are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and those who have been equipped for the work of the ministry, if we're going to recognize that, there's going to have to be a new level of honor. And I don't know about you, but I always like to go to the next level. And so, God, how can I honor you more today than I did yesterday? How can I honor you more this year than I did last year? I remember as a young man, when I was first starting in ministry, I was so passionate and zealous. When I preached, I would yell. I don't do that anymore. I would get so excited and just passionate about the things of God. And I can remember our executive pastor called me in his office and he said, I just love your passion. I just love your zeal. I remember when my life was like that. He said, hold on to it for as long as you can, because that fire is going to burn out someday. And I walked out so confused. I was like, what? I remember going to God saying, God, I don't want this fire to burn out. If this fire burns out, I don't want to do this thing. If this has to go, I don't want this. And so he took me on a journey. How to keep the fire requires intentionality. It requires a willingness to fight against familiarity. It requires a submissive heart that will honor God and his people. 25 years into my relationship with Jesus now, on March 17th, it'll be 26 years since I give my life to Jesus. And I'm happy to say that the fire hasn't gone out. I'm leading more passionately now than I've ever led before. And it's not just for my church, it's for other churches as well. I told y'all, we oversee almost 40 churches. It's passion for his house. It's passion for his kingdom. It's passion for God. The fire doesn't have to burn out, but you gotta learn. Come on, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. I wonder if that's you in this room. You say, Pastor Matt, I'm lacking honor in some places. I've become familiar in some places. Or I've never even considered honoring like this. And I've just embraced the good life and the familiarity that comes with it. But tonight I'm desperate for the things of God. And I want to see the purpose of God reset. I want to see the power of God released. And I want to see the people of God established. And I know honor can do that. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? So that's me, Pastor Matt. Would you pray for me? Come on, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I honor your boldness. I honor your humility. I honor your humility and your willingness to surrender. Come on, if you raised your hand, would you just stand up? Would you just stand up? Nobody's looking around. Everybody's going to keep their eyes closed. Come on. Would you lift both hands to heaven just as a sign of surrender to Jesus Christ? Not to me, not to this church, just to Jesus. Father, I think there's something significant and powerful about a willingness to say, you know what, there's more that I can attain. And so, Father, for your sons and daughters who have lifted their hands, who have responded to this call, I pray that a spirit of honor would rise up within them. I pray that a mantle of honor would rest upon them. Father, the way that you took my life from the broken young man who was a misfit, did not belong anywhere, to the place where I am today. That spirit, that anointing, that power, and so much more. Father, I believe that there's greatness in this room. There's power in this room. There's authority in this room. So many of us don't understand that the power of heaven comes through submission, intentionality, and honor. And so, God, as your sons and daughters stand ready to receive from you, I pray that in a sweet way, you would pour out your spirit. That this night of honor wouldn't only be about pastors being installed as a couple, a mom and dad, to lead this church forward into the future that they're called to. It would be about powerful people moving forward to carry on the word that God has established in this church. Revival. 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 In Jesus' name. Come on, with your eyes closed. I wonder if you just tip your heads back, just as if you're gazing into heaven. And I feel like God just wants to show you what he's going to deposit in your life. All the good things. The spirit of multiplication. The dominion that you're called to have. The way that you're supposed to walk on earth as it is in heaven. Father, reveal your plan, your purpose, your destiny to your people whom you love so much. Lord, we love you. We honor you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I really believe, Pastor Alex, that there's coming a new level to your preaching. And you heard it tonight. You don't have to be a great preacher for the presence of God to touch a room. That's one thing I know about myself. I'm not a great preacher. Never pretended to be. Never. But one thing that I know is that atmospheres shift when I come into a room. But it's because of the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you that atmospheres are going to shift. Not necessarily by the word that you bring, but by the spirit that you carry. And there's a powerful word in you too. I think you're going to preach just a little bit more. So get ready. And it's going to be beautiful. It's not going to be forced. You don't have to be him. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be anybody else. You get to be you. That's the beauty of the kingdom. God's not looking for you to be anybody else. He just wants you to be you. And that's the same with you. Just be you. Your messages are going to flow over from your personal prayer times. Now, Pastor Matt, when am I going to personally pray? My kids are all over the place all the time. God's going to speak to you, and you're going to find a time. And it's going to be good. You, my friend, what's your name? Nate. You're a good dude. How long have you been in this church? I'm not sure. It's been so long you can't even keep it straight. I love it. Would you mind standing up? Can I pray for you? There's been a specific cry of your heart that you've been taking to the Lord. And He hears your cry. He knows what you're expecting. He knows what you're looking for. And He's ready to come through. But I'm going to tell you something, Nate. He's not coming through for you. He's coming through for the people that you're called to lead. Coming through for your family that you're called to lead. God's faithfulness in your life is because He loves you. But it's also because He knows how deeply you love others. And you're hungry for, you're desperate for, you're ready for something more. And God's going to bring it to you. More. Come on, lift your hands high. Lift your hands high. Eli, go lay hands on Nate. Father, we declare more in Jesus' name. From the top of His head to the soles of His feet. God, release Your power. Release Your anointing. Father, where Nate has wondered if You hear him, let him see that You're seeing him. Right on the top of his head, Eli. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath in your nose, out your mouth. One more time. One more time. And tell God I receive it. In Jesus' name. Come on. I love it. You like that just sweet presence of God? Isn't that nice? It's so nice. Love it. What's your name, man? Besides amazing beard. Gavin. I like your glasses. Appreciate you. Minor because I'm old. God wants to show up to you in a new way this year. Not the same way He's always shown up to you. In a new way. He wants to do something brand new. Okay? But here's what I'm hearing the Lord say. Is in order for Him to do that, He's waiting on you to do the new thing. You found yourself. I feel like I just see you on a merry-go-round. And you've been kind of doing some of the same thing. Same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. But I feel like the Lord's just saying, hey, come on, brother, just jump. Jump. Faith. I don't know if that means anything to you at all. But this is the year. This is the year for that to take place. Come on, would you lift your hands really high? Layton, go lay hands on Gavin. Father, thank You for your son. whom you're calling to yourself. You're calling to yourself. This is a new year, a fresh year, fresh anointing, fresh power, fresh life. Father, give Gavin the nudge that he needs to step in the place of faith that you're calling him to. The place that is so big and beyond him that it has to be you. But that place is scary. God, let him know that you see him and that you come through for him, doing in and through him what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I pray for one more person? Is it all right? I don't know who it is. To done with you. Listen, I'm sure you heard all the words of scripture. You know the Bible, probably front words, back words, and inside out. You probably know the Bible better than I do, because you're a woman of the word. But here's what I believe that God's delivering to you tonight is a spoken word, saying that your latter days are going to be greater than your former. And I'm here to tell you that you are not too far gone. God is not even close to done with you. There is so much purpose on the inside of you. In fact, God put you here tonight. Are you in this church? Are you a part of this church? Is this your home church? Thank God. Here's the deal. The anointing that's on your life is going to be multiplied exponentially into the generations. And there were visions that God gave you as a young woman that you thought, well, maybe God forgot about. God just set you up for this season. He brought you here. Sometimes you look around and you're like, where are the old folks? It's just me. Listen, we pray for people's season in life in our church. Our church is so young. My man, God, please send some old folks. Y'all got a better percentage of old folks than we do. Thank God. Thank God. Y'all are blessed, man. Blessed. Hey, but God's not done with you. I think maybe you thought, maybe it's time to slow down a little bit. But I don't think God's saying it's time to slow down. It's time to, let's keep going. I want to encourage you, come close to your pastors. Come close to your pastors. How can we serve? What can we bring to the table? Man, pastor them and lead them well, but release them in their giftedness. Pastor and lead them well, but release them in their giftedness. Can I just pray over you? Come on, would you just lift your hands, just high to heaven. I'm not going to have anybody touch you, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is touching you. And so, Father, over your daughter, Julie, who the enemy has attacked in her mind, causing her to believe that her best days were behind, breathe fresh vision. Bring wisdom and the power of your Spirit, that she might be able to see with new eyes all that you have done to get her to this point and the reasons why. Release your spirit. Release your power in Jesus' name. Amen.